Our system basically failed its most fundamental tests. It was too fragile, too vulnerable to shocks.
We're going to have to save those banks.
Save those banks.
Save those banks.
Even if we cash out the guys that took the big bonuses.
When they fail, they get a bonus. The taxpayer gets the bill.
All week long, we've been reviewing the year that marked the beginning of the financial meltdown and the recession that we continue to live through. Today, we're taking stock of how the nation's banks are managing 1 year after the government spent billions of taxpayer dollars to bail them out. For a look at what regulations need to be in place to avoid future financial freefalls, we turn to Eliot Spitzer. He is the former attorney general, the ex-governor of New York. We are also joined by Tyler Cowen. He is a professor of economics at George Mason University and author of the new book, Create Your Own Economy, The Path to Prosperity in a Disordered World. Gentlemen, welcome to both of you.
Thank you very much.
Eliot Spitzer, let me start with you. 1 year after we bailed out these big financial institutions that were supposedly too big to fail, they're getting bigger and bigger. What's going on?
Well, I totally agree with the premise and what you just said. They were too big to fail before. They're still too big to fail. There was no question we're going to bail out the banks, and we have put trillions of dollars into the financial system. The question is, are we getting the reform that we need? And unfortunately, the answer is no, we are not. We are rebuilding the same edifice, the same structures, the same government guarantees implicitly behind what these banks do, because if they were to begin to founder today, once again, we would have to step in. The government has not, and I have not yet seen a plan that says, here's how we're going to fundamentally restructure the financial services sector so the next time round we do not face the same problem.
What do you think needs to be done?
I wrote an article a long time ago, and I'm not the only one. Many, many people have said too big to fail is too big. Let us finally take a hard look at a system of financial concentration that became the policy of this government 10 or 15 years ago, where banks were permitted to merge to the point where they became such enormous structures. Let us finally say you cannot be that big. You should not be that interconnected, which is the word that is used these days, basically the same thing. You can break them down on regional lines, break them down on business lines. You can basically say you will not be guaranteed next time, so they of a natural course, economic pressure would force them apart. There's nothing that says they have to be this big. This is a conversation going on in other countries.
Who should be doing this?
The federal government. There's no question that the Treasury Department, the Fed. Look, let's be very clear. The Fed failed. Right now, everybody's saying the Fed has saved us by printing trillions of dollars. The Fed is the very institution that was supposed to be monitoring this, along with the Treasury Department. They utterly failed to do it.
We're talking to Eliot Spitzer, former Attorney General and former Governor of New York State. Let us go now to Tyler Cowen, Professor of Economics at George Mason University. Mr. Cowen, what do you think? Banks too big to fail? Are they bigger and bigger? Should they be more regulated?
The key is to reintroduce market discipline and let creditors know that if their counterparties fail, they will take a loss. We've been bailing out institutions since at least the 1990s. I don't think making them smaller is the answer. Lehman was not that big. And if you go back to long-term capital management in 1998, we bailed them out, and they were a very small firm. So I don't think shrinking banks is the answer. The most we can do is have some very simple restrictions on leverage and send the message that bailouts will not be automatic.
Do you have objections to what Mr. Spitzer is suggesting about letting having the Fed get in there and do more?
Well, it is the Fed's responsibility, but I think the key problem lies in Congress, not the regulators. Regulators respond to their congressional committees, and Congress for too long has decided that as long as jobs are being created in their district or more people are buying homes, that all is well, and that's a big mistake. But it's Congress that needs reform, not the Fed.
I don't think we fundamentally disagree. Congress obviously put pressure on the Fed and other regulatory agencies to act in a particular way, but the Fed was supposed to be the repository of wisdom on this issue and was supposed to look out for systemic risk, which is obviously what brought us down. You are correct. It is not only scale, it is the fact of the bailouts, but the bailouts by the Fed were predicated on the notion that Lehman was too interconnected, or so we thought it was too interconnected. We found out, in fact, it was. AIG was too interconnected, and so therefore they said interconnected equals big equals bailout. You're right. The bailouts, what we call the socialization of risk and the privatization of gain, so that that asymmetry, take all the risk you want, if it goes bad, we'll bail you out, but you keep the upside, that has not worked as an economic principle. That is not market discipline.
But, gentlemen, isn't what both of you are saying, it seems to me, for all the specifics that we need to deal with, part of it is that we as consumers trusted. We trusted the banks to be in doing what they're doing. We trusted the government and the regulatory agencies to do what they – who are we left to trust, and where are we at this point?
Well, look, I hate to jump in, but years ago, back when I was attorney general, I said I would not trust the SEC to do a house closing for me. And now after we read the report about Madoff – and back when I said that, of course, people said, oh, you're being too edgy. And the fact of the matter is the federal regulatory system utterly failed. It was captured by the industry, and you had bankers. And when you look at what they did and you look at the AIG bailout – and you're right about the counterparties. AIG got $80 billion, went straight through to the counterparties. They were paid 100%. Nobody to this day has explained why Goldman Sachs got a check for $12.9 billion, 100% of the counterparty risk that it supposedly had taken. Why? Goldman says it wasn't at risk. Why did we give them the money? Government bailed out. The Fed failed. The SEC failed. Who do we trust? At this point, very few people in the federal government.
Elliot Spitzer, former AG, Attorney General, and former Governor of New York. And we're also talking to Tyler Cowen, Professor of Economics at George Mason. Professor Cowen, go ahead.
I would just note consumers were actually part of the problem, that many of us were caught up in the euphoria and the bubble, and many people thought they could take on more debt and buy any house they want and put down maybe zero money. And it's easy enough to blame the banks, the regulators. All those criticisms make sense, but the problem was more systemic. It was an overall excess of optimism and complacency in the entire economy, including consumers.
Tyler, you're absolutely right, and the history of bubbles is that everybody gets swept along and we all buy into the same groupthink, which is somehow risk can be absorbed and there will never be a day when we have to pay the price, and unfortunately
right.
We find out otherwise.
Gentlemen, thanks to both of you. Last question for you, Elliot Spitzer. You've been back in the public eye recently, speaking, writing, teaching. Some rumors, any truth that you're going to run for public office again?
No, I enjoy participating in the debate and lending my voice when I'm asked to do so. That's it.
Okay, tomorrow we are going to continue the conversation with Elizabeth Warren, and we're going to talk about the TARP. But for now, we're going to leave it here. All this morning, we are also talking about President Obama's speech to Congress last night. He pitched his national health care plan, but what do you think the president left out? What resonated with you the most?
My name is Mitchell Essig, and I've been a doctor for 30 years. I can do a lot more to control someone's diabetes if they can lose 20 pounds than giving them all the insulin in the world. In this way, the president's plan is a little irresponsible, because if I go for life insurance, I'm put on a scale and weighed, and I'm asked to give a urine for nicotine. And if either of those two things are out of normal, I pay more.
Whoa, are you paying more? Do you want to not pay more? Tell us what you think. What is your review of President Obama's speech? Call us, 877-8-MYTAKE, or email mytake@thetakeaway.org. I'm Lynn Scherr. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.